All right, we'll turn to Colossians chapter 3, if you will. Tonight, we're going to study lesson number 13. Lesson number 13, Colossians chapter number 3. Lesson number 13 on the subject of growth. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 3, starting with verse number 12. And I'm going to read through verse 15, if you'll stand with me. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, starting with verse number 12, the Bible says this: Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. You're going to find the subject of tonight's sermon in verse number 12. The Bible says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God. So God is telling us there's something he wants us to put on, like a garment, wear it. This should represent Christ, or we will represent Christ well if we behave a certain way. But midway through that verse, it uses the word meekness. May I ask this question? Have you given any regard to whether or not you're growing in the area of meekness? The average person gives no thought to that term. It's not a term that's used very much. I'm going to talk about meekness tonight, and we're going to talk about growing in the area of meekness. Let me pray for us. Father, bless us with thy presence, Holy Spirit of God. Take the sermon tonight and get something special out of it for thy people, for your church, for the cause of Jesus. Give me everyone's attention. Now, Father, these folks have gone out of their way, really a bit cold and inconvenient type of a day, but they're here. So we certainly don't want to waste their time, and God, we don't want to waste your time. Use the teaching to get glory to thyself, please. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat there. I'll read the verse to you again, and I'll try not to belabor the issue tonight, but I do feel like we're here and we might as well learn something while we're here. I want us to talk about growing our meekness, growing our meekness. Again, in Colossians 3:12, it said, Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Now, God is saying to me and you, almost like a garment, put on meekness. You wear a garment, and just so you all know, what you wear is a reflection of something that you believe. And I think that God is saying, behave this way. And if you'll behave this way, it's a good reflection of what you believe. Now, let me say this about this subject of meekness. The Bible says of Moses that he was the meekest man alive at the time that Moses was alive. Let me read a verse to you. And look right this way and pay attention. Numbers chapter 12, verse number 3, it says, Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Now that's quite a compliment to Moses. It is being said here, this great man by the name of Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. But I must say to you, and in what I'm about to say, there ought to be some defining of this thing called meekness. Moses was a strong man. Moses was not a wimpy, twerpy, whiny kind of a man. Moses was a strong man, but yet it says he was the meekest man on the face of the earth, which means this to me. Moses was a strong man, but he had balance in that strength. The Apostle Paul appeals to the church at Corinth with this thing of meekness and gentleness. 2 Corinthians 10:1 says, Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. Here, the Apostle Paul said, for the sake of Jesus Christ, I'm to be meek and gentle among you. And again, now, Paul is talking about being meek, but wait, Paul wasn't a whiny, twerpy kind of a man. He was one tough Christian. But yet, he said, I want to be meek. Moses was a very strong man, but Moses wanted to be meek. Meekness requires the controlling of ourselves, especially and primarily when it comes to our working around other people. The fruit of the Spirit, those behaviors, that's to help you and I as Christians to get along with one another and to some degree get along with people in the world. When meekness is absent from a life, we become fleshly, cruel, we become self-centered, and we're hurtful in our leadership. Oh, we could be hurtful in our fellowship. When meekness is not present in the life of a Christian, we're going to hurt people with our interactions and our dealings with them. If we want to maintain our relationships in our homes, if we want to maintain our relationships within the church, then meekness is a must-have for the Christian. Meekness involves our attitude. Meekness involves, to a degree, your character. Meekness involves Holy Spirit control. Now, when we talk about your character, there's a level of what we'll call self-control that everybody is to exercise, but you mix self-control with Holy Spirit control, and you can control yourself. The Holy Spirit won't do it all for you, and you can't do it all without Him, but when you and the Holy Spirit put your controls together as a team effort, then you can do what you have to do to have decent relationships and decent dealings with people. Meekness involves, meekness involves your strength being tempered by the Holy Spirit and your own self-control. But I want to just help you to grow in the area of meekness. Let me get to it here. Number one, what exactly is meekness? I think if we start there, what is meekness? Meekness means to subdue or to deny or suppress yourself. In other words, there's a part of you that you have to say no to. There's a part of you that you must hold back. Now, that's partially what meekness is. It's dealing with people kindly when you could deal with people harshly. In other words, if you're going to be meek, something comes up, you could be harsh, you could be cruel, you could be mean, but you're in control and you've decided to be meek. You're subduing, you're suppressing, you're holding back a certain part of your aggressive nature. Let me explain. Faith. Someone said to me one day, I have doubt, so I guess there's no faith here. Now, let me explain. Faith is, part of having faith is having doubt. Some people don't understand. What is faith? Faith is believing something and doubting that something, but stepping out on the belief and not the doubt, that's what faith is. You had to doubt to need faith. Doubt is what necessitated faith. So faith is believing and doubting, but going ahead and doing what you believe in the presence of the doubt. Okay, what's courage? Courage, someone said, well, if you have real courage, you're not going to have any fear. No. It is fear that necessitates the bravery, if you will. What is courage? Courage is having bravery and having fear, but stepping out and doing the brave thing in the presence of the fear. So it is fear that kicks that bravery into being needed. So what is meekness? Now, when I first started hearing the word meekness, I thought, oh, meekness, that sounds soft. No. Meekness is strength, then gentleness, and the two added together helps you then to be meek. In other words, you have a strength, but it's got to be tempered with some gentleness, And then that gentleness develops this thing that's called meekness. So let me tell you this. Meekness is not weakness. You say, oh, well, so-and-so, they're just meek all the time. No, there are some people who are just wimpy. Meekness is not you being wimpy. Meekness means you have power, you have strength, you have aggression, you're assertive, but you have chosen to control it. That's what meekness is. Meekness is power under control. Now, if you are just power out of control, you're really not of much use. It's like electricity. You know, you take electricity and let a lightning bolt fly through the sky. It's wild. It'll hit things and destroy it. You take that very same electricity, you bring it under control, you put it in a wire, and it's productive. One is power out of control. The other is power in control. Power in control is productive. A meek person is somebody that is strong, but yet they are controlling their strength. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power under gentleness's constraint. So if you're a strong person, you need to get meekness in your life. That keeps your strength from hurting the people around you. You men who, I'll let you decide, you men who feel you're strong leaders and you want to be the leader of your home and you want to be in charge, good, I'm glad of all that. And you step up, be a man, be strong, be tough. That's all good. Now, you must take that strength, you must add gentleness to it so that your strength is not destructive. Your strength was not intended for you to hurt people with it. Your strength was there to help people. So God takes your aggression, He tempers it with gentleness, and then He labels the control of your strength, He labels that meekness. That's what meekness is. So remember, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under control. Okay? Now, let me give you some principles to go along with it. If you want to grow in this area of meekness, let me say this. Meekness requires an attitude of restraint. It requires an attitude of restraint. I'm going to read to you. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." Now, you all remember, here the Bible saying Moses was the most meek man on the face of the earth. Can I tell you something else about Moses? He's probably the strongest man on the face of the earth then too. Was there anybody that had the kind of power Moses had? We know that there were some sorcerers around that had some type of power, but really, who won the showdown of power in Moses' day? Well, it was Moses and God's people. So what you have here is you have a powerful man, and the Bible gives him a compliment and says he was the meekest man on the face of the earth. How did he earn the right to possibly hold the title of being the meekest man on the face of the earth? It's because he had the potential, and he was the strongest, he was the most aggressive, he was the most assertive man on the face of the earth, but he got that assertiveness, he controlled it to where God could say, that's meekness. Meekness helps to keep strength productive, and so it's not damaging to other people. If you remember, Moses parted the Red Sea. Moses could get water from a rock. There are times this last week I couldn't get water from my faucet. It froze up. But he could get water from a rock. Moses parted the Red Sea. Moses does all these with, of course we know it was the power of God, but he had power. Now, Moses had to be careful because God said, you have great power, but that power's got to be controlled. And as a result of Moses learning to control his power, God said, right there is the meekest man on the face of the earth. Meekness requires an attitude of restraint. We find Moses interceding for the people on many, many occasions. See, he used his power for them, not to do something to them. Meekness requires an adjustment of our strength and our power when we're dealing with other people. Meekness is probably produced, I would say, If you're going to grow in your meekness, it's going to be produced by you having a conversation with yourself before you act upon things. Say why? Well, if I'm really thinking about it, when my strength, sometimes right, sometimes wrong strength, flares up, if I have the presence of mind to say, you could hurt somebody right now. You better control yourself right now. You can feel it flaring up inside you. Meekness is taking a strength and controlling that strength. And I believe meekness is not a reaction of the flesh, but I think it's a reaction of the spirit. That's why I say meekness requires an attitude of restraint. You need the Holy Spirit to restrain you. You need yourself to restrain you. So if you want to be, if you're a sissy britches man, and everybody could run over you 24/7, you don't qualify for meekness. You do have weakness. Yours is weakness. A man's not supposed to be that. By the way, a lady is not supposed to be a pushover. I mean, ladies have to take a stand. Ladies have to do the right thing. Ladies have to do the wrong thing. If you're a mealy-mouthed doormat kind of a Christian, you let everybody run over you about everything all the time, what everybody else is doing, what everybody else is talking about, what everybody else is saying, you just go along with it, and you say, that's because I'm meek. No, you're a coward, and you're a wimp, and you're a twerp. That's what you are. What you ought to be facing is there's something inside you that ought to want to rise up and take that stand and do the right thing and challenge people when they're wrong. But you're careful how you do it. You're wise in how you do it. You think before you talk. That's what meekness is. Meekness is strength under control on purpose. So, don't fool yourself when you hear Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. I don't think that meant that Moses walked around and he didn't wear a robe with a hood and walk around saying, "Hello everybody, I'm just glad to see you today. It's just so nice to be here with you. And oh, I hope you're having a good day. I love God, love the devil, love everything." That's not meekness. No, that's not meekness. I think Moses was a tough guy. But he had to bring that under control so it didn't hurt people. That's what meekness is. And we're to be growing in our meekness. And so you all know, this kind of sermon is very good for old-fashioned, independent, King James Bible, spit-in-your-eye Baptists. Because we can get awful tough. You know, we fight wars. We believe in spiritual warfare. But if you're not careful, you'd be walking around with a big stick, swatting everybody on the head everywhere all the time. Even the people you love. And I'm tough. I want to fight with you. Let's fight. Over what? Over love. Let's fight. No, we are to be strong, but it's to be tempered. It's to be controlled. So, what is meekness? Meekness is power under control. Meekness requires an attitude of restraint. Number three, meekness requires an attitude of praise. If you want to learn to be meek with people, you're going to have to learn to use the tool of praise a lot. Psalm 22:26 says, "The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever." Now, here we see praising in the same verse attached to this quality called meekness. I got to thinking about this, and I thought I really discovered something. I just discovered something God's known all along. Meek people, if they want to stay meek with others, they need to learn to use the tool of praise with others. I think if we would be more thankful for what people do for us, we'd be less bitter over what they don't do for us. That is praising their positive rather than scorning their negative. You want to be meek, you've got to learn to use the tool of praise. Our relationships sour because we become ungrateful for the positive things that people do for us in our relationships. And now, so here's what you do. If you want to grow in your meekness, when your power, when your strength begins to rise up, stop and look at the person that you might be getting ready to use that power on and look at a bunch of their positives. Think of all their contributions. Think of everything that they do for Jesus or do for you or do for whatever. And it might be good that you even praise them. Because if you'll throw some praise in, either exercise some praise mentally for them or throw some praise toward them, it may keep you from having your strength rise up to point out what you're not getting out of them and by pointing out what you are getting out of them. To be meek toward someone, you almost have to learn to praise their positives. To every husband here, you say, there's something that I want my wife to do. While you're trying to get that, why don't you remember all the things she already does? It will help you not to tend toward the negative all the time. And again, boy, I believe praise helps to develop. When I praise others, I am helping to develop my meekness. Because I have a choice. I could choose to either praise them or I could choose to criticize them. If I'm busy praising someone for their contribution at the same very moment, I can't be busy critiquing or criticizing their negatives. And so I really believe that praise is a tool that you must learn to use if you want to be meek. Strong people need to learn to use the tool of praise so they can develop the meekness in their life, or strong people will find themselves constantly critical, looking at what they're not getting instead of what they are getting. And those of you that are strong, you have to be understanding some of this. If you're a strong person, and you may be a very strong person, you may be very organized, you may be very intelligent, you may be very well educated. It might be that you have a lot of character. It might be that you know a lot about a lot of things. And if you're not careful, though, all of those things which are your strength, you'll use those to hurt people. And you always notice what other people are not giving you instead of what they have given you. Praise will help protect and develop your meekness toward people. Number four, meekness requires an attitude of learning. An attitude of learning. Psalm 25:9 says, the meek will be guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. If you want to be meek, you're going to have to be teachable. So I've met people that are very strong leaders that are not meek, and usually you couldn't teach them. Everybody here, every man here, every lady here, every person here, you've got to remain teachable in life. That's the only way you can develop this thing called meekness. Now see, if you think you know it all, if you're not careful, you will corrupt your relationships with everybody else. Of course, we all know pride just is so destructive in so many things. Stay teachable. The only way to accomplish meekness, you've got to believe you don't know it all. You've got to stay teachable. Meek people keep an attitude or a desire to learn, and that helps them with their relationships. You say, there's somebody, they wear me down. They're at work, they're at school. It's one of my kids. It's my husband. It's my wife. It's a friend. It's somebody in their church. They just wear me down. Can I tell you something? You can learn something from everybody. If you can keep the attitude, you can learn something from everybody, you're less apt to use your strength to hurt that person because that person has something they can teach you. But meek people are people that are still teachable. If nothing else, every one of us need to spend some time in our life continuing to search on how to treat people and how to do the right thing. Stay teachable. So, what is meekness? Meekness is not weakness, but meekness is power under control. Meekness requires an attitude of restraint. We hold back. We don't let our strength get out of control. Meekness requires an attitude of praise, because if you're praising, you're not being negative. Then meekness requires an attitude of learning. People that are going to develop meekness must know there are things yet they need to learn. And here's the bad thing. Somebody that's super, super strong that doesn't have any meekness about them, it is very obvious there's something they need to learn, right? They need to learn to restrain themselves to be meek. So you've got to keep that attitude of learning. Number next. I think meekness requires an attitude of joy. Of joy. Let me read a verse to you. Isaiah 29:19 says, the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. Here God said, meek people have a growth of joy that's going on in their life. You say, what does that mean? Okay, if you're a strong person, can I recommend to you to learn that if you're going to use your strength, okay, if you're a dad, if you're a mom, a husband, whatever the case, if you're going to use your strength to correct something, correct it with meekness. Now, I'm not eliminating the fact that there is a time of chastisement for a child, but I'll tell you this, you should never discipline your children in hatred. You should never discipline them in anger. That your children should not be disciplined. The Bible says, "Fathers, provoke not your child. Provoke not your child to anger." What's it talking about? When you discipline them, you shouldn't be making them hate your guts all the time you're doing it. You know, there is a way to discipline a child, and you be the strong one, but yet your strength is under control, and that's what meekness is. But meekness requires, for it to grow, it requires an attitude of joy. You know that there is a way for a strong person maybe to correct even a weaker person, but to do it in gentleness and kindness and goodness. The Bible says, lay aside all bitterness and malice and all your dealings. Let me read this verse to you. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know, when you and I, when we correct one another, when you correct someone at work, when you correct somebody in your family, we tend, when we're right, to get pretty nasty. There are times when I know that I've said something to my wife, it could have been said far differently. There were times when my correction of my kids was carnal. I was in the flesh. I was angry. Now, let's all realize something. We're not to discipline anybody in the flesh. You say, but I'm the dad. Yeah. And if you are, then just show some control. When you and I correct, our strength is to be under control. What is that? That's meekness. I wonder why God said Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. I just about imagine that Moses had enough power over millions and millions of the Hebrew children that if he wanted to have led them to do some pretty rough things, he could have said, we're going to do some pretty rough things. He had power. He had power with God. There's a point when I think it was Moses that said, oh, Lord, take my name out of your book, but spare these people. It doesn't seem to me like if Moses was close enough to God that he could part the Red Sea, I don't think I'd cross Moses. You know, I mean, if there's this guy that could part the Red Sea and he's that close to God and he had that kind of power on him, he's not the kind of guy we'd go TP his house or his trees, you know? You don't mess with that kind of a guy. But Moses had it under control. If you notice, Moses even dealt with his evil leaders with some dignity, respect, and control. He had it under control. And that's what we're looking for. Now, how are we going to do that? We're going to do that by developing an attitude of restraint. Sometimes you got to have a little conversation with yourself before you make your move. Every parent in here, one of the best things you'll do is when you're about to discipline your children, to stop and have a mental conversation with yourself and say, I'm about to yank a knot in somebody's tail. And I'm not real happy right now. But this is going to be done with dignity and propriety. I'm not going to be hateful while I do it. They've just embarrassed me. My kids have just embarrassed me. But I'm not going to embarrass myself and everybody else in the way I handle what I'm about to do. I could say to my kids, come here. And they go, oh no. When we get home, we're going to have a talk. And I might be smiling right now, but I'm not going to be smiling when we get home. Go have fun with your friends. But you be in the car when it's time to go home. You got it? Smile and say, yes, Daddy. Yes, Daddy. Now go and play. Have fun. Listen, if all of us would learn to have that little conversation with ourselves, get it under control. I'm glad you have the strength. Because you need strength as a dad. You need strength as a mom. You need strength as a Christian. You need strength as a leader. You need strength as a husband. But that strength is not there to hurt. It's there to help. And you've got to develop an attitude about keeping that strength under control. You got to learn to praise as a part of this. You've got to keep yourself in a learning mode. You've got to keep some joy in your life. Then, number six, meekness requires an attitude of humbleness. I'll read this to you. Matthew 11:29 says, "Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." Being lowly in heart and meek are right there in the very same verse. You know what I think humility is? I think being humble is nothing more than admitting that God's right all the time and you're right rarely. You want to stay humble? Just know this, God's right all the time and you're right rarely. But see, where we get cocky is we start comparing ourselves to each other. You know, you compare yourself to your wife, but buddy, you're right. She seems to be wrong. Here's what you should have done right before you went after her. You should have compared how often you're right compared to how often God's right. And that would have got you down off your high horse. You wouldn't have walked around strutting around like you're King Tut. The problem is, the only person you're comparing yourself to at the moment was somebody else, another human being. And so you think, well, I'll take care of this. Okay, it's a good thing God doesn't look at you like that and take care of you every day and tear into you every day, because God's right all the time. What will help you with your humility is to always remember, He's right all the time, and we're right rarely. And even if we were right often, it's not near as much as God's right. So, I believe meekness requires humbleness in the attitude. Meekness understands that it does not have all the answers. Meekness requires a mental reminder that you're also a sinner, just like the person with whom you're dealing. And so, just remember this. When you go after your wife, when you go after your kids, you go after some other follower, and you're tearing into them because you think you know and you have really accomplished and you have the right to correct them, it might be a good idea for you to think about the one who knows everything, who is your leader, who really is one up on you by a whole lot. Now, how do you want God to treat you when you're wrong? Wouldn't you like Him to do it with some tenderness and some kindness and some compassion? You say, but I've told her 100 times not to do that. Well, how many times God told you? Look, God is kind and merciful and gentle. Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth, but God's the meekest being in the whole universe. I mean, He created meekness. And He is very meek. Isn't God power under control? Is God a wimp? No. What does He do? He has all the power He needs, but He controls it. Why? Because He loves you. And He knows that that power is not supposed to get out of control. So, we have to be careful. Humility helps us with this meekness thing. Because it reminds us, though we might have some strength, we're not always right. God's always right, but we're not always right. Let me go on. Number seven. I want to skip that one. I believe that meekness requires, again, and this is almost repetitive, but I want to say it. I think meekness requires action on your part. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. We're told to be filled with the Spirit. That's something that we have to act upon. Then, it says in Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering. I think this is teaching us meekness must be grown or accomplished on purpose. You must on purpose say you're going to control yourself. Me, if I don't say to me, control it, then I don't control it. You know, what happens to me is after I've said the harsh thing, did the mean thing, cut it loose, then I catch myself and say, why did you act that way? Why did you do that again? And well, it's because I did not require it of me. When it says put on therefore, what's it saying? make this happen. So if you're a strong person, and I don't know, maybe I'll reach three people with what I'm teaching tonight, but let me tell you, if you are a strong individual, hey, you know what? Maybe it's a compliment to you. If you're strong, if you're well-educated, if you have character, if you're well-organized, and you've got it all together, you're going to have to make yourself control some of that. You're just going to have to say to yourself, look, not everybody's as scheduled as I. Not everybody can think like I can. Not everybody's as strong as I am. Not everybody has the character that I have. Not everybody knows everything that I know about this. And as a result of that, I've got to control myself because my strength could become detrimental to the people I love. So I think meekness requires action on the part of the person who's trying to develop meekness in their life. I have had to tell myself to be meek. I had to become acquainted with meekness. I had to realize it was a requirement. I had to have it, and I had to put myself through that mental process. I had to say, okay, you're too hard on people. You're too rough. You're too strong. You have to control that strength. And that's what meekness is. Let me recommend this, and I'll be done. I think to become meek, you're probably going to end up needing to associate with some meek people. We become like that which we associate. 1 Timothy 6:11 says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." It says follow after it. What's it talking about? It's not just talking about the quality. What it's saying to you is, if you know somebody who has developed this ability to be meek, watch them. Let them train you. I'm glad I had the privilege of being around a couple of just powerhouses when it come to leadership. And you know what I found? They were also some of the kindest, most gentle, and careful people I had ever met. I have no shame in it. I worked for Dr. Jack Hiles for 18 years. I wish some of you that never got to be where he was and watch him preach and teach, what a powerhouse. I mean, the guy would mount the pulpit and he could preach like a bucking bronco. I mean, phew. I mean, everything was sizzling on fire when he got done. But I'll tell you what, he could be preaching fire down from the sky and there could be tears rolling down his face. And you could get around him, and what a gentleman, what a kind man. He stood for what he believed, but I never one time ever watched him try to personally hurt anybody. He was strong. But he had learned to get that strength and restrain it. Now, some people think they're strong because they're like the lightning bolt. And they're burning down barns and cracking trees in half and everything. They think that's what it's all about. No, you're to have the power, but you're to restrain it and put it in the wire. And that's what meekness is. So to everybody in this house, I want you to be strong. We have to be strong. The Bible says be strong in the Lord. And in the power of His might. You're going to have to be strong if you're going to live in this day and age and you're going to accomplish anything for God. You're going to have to be strong if you're going to be an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist that believes the old-time way because everybody else is going the new, modern way. You're going to have to be strong. But wait a minute. In the midst of all that strength, let's put on meekness. Let's say, I'm strong, I'm bullheaded, I've been trained well, I fight hard, but I'm going to control it. So it doesn't hurt people. I'm going to make sure people see a strength, but they also admire a love. We would call it balance. What is that? Oh, that's being able to do the hard thing in the right way. And so, meekness. I want us to grow in the area of meekness. Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. And I figured out why. When I first started studying the subject of meekness, I couldn't figure out why. I thought the same that others might think. Moses, was he this mealy-mouthed, kind of cowardly kind of a guy? But he wasn't. That's not anywhere in the Bible that Moses was like that. He was a giant, man of strength. But he learned to control it. And that's where the meekness came from. Remember, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power restrained so it doesn't hurt people. And so your testimony doesn't hurt the cause of Jesus Christ. We want a growing, thriving church. You don't get a growing, thriving church unless you have many, many strong leaders within the church. I don't mind strong leaders. I do well with strong leaders. But those strong leaders have got to get that quality of meekness to go along with that strength. If not, they're just abusive with people. I want us to be strong enough to lead this church to whatever level of greatness God will allow. But as we do it, we're not going to trash people, ruin people, and hurt people along the way. We're not going to abuse people to get where we're going. But it'll take strength. Take a lot of it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wish we would grow in our meekness. We don't think about it a lot. What is that? That is getting that strength under control so it's not hurtful. I want you to have the strength, though. There are a few of you, you need to develop some strength. You're kind of a doormat. You're mealy mouth, whiny. Don't be like that. Get a strength about you. But don't let that strength hurt. Control it through the Spirit of God, through these things that I've told you. And that way, your strength is productive. We're going to have an altar call. If you need a moment, I really believe this. I think there are dads that need the altar. I think there are moms that need the altar. Husbands that need the altar. Maybe employees or employers that need the altar for a moment. Get the strength under control so it's not abusive. That's meekness. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Let's practice meekness as we rear those children. I'm for them being corrected. I'm for them being disciplined, and I think they ought to be. But do it in a meek way. Do it with yourself under control. Don't do it in rage. Don't do it in anger. Don't do it in hatred. I've even watched parents almost with a vengeful attitude toward their own children. Don't let that happen. Stay teachable. Stay humble. The less humble, the less teachable we are, the more arrogant, harsh, and sometimes hateful we become. Oh, that tool of praise. The Bible talked about praise and meekness all in the same verse. Oh my, is that important. Learn to praise people for what they do, and then when you must correct for what they didn't do, you've tempered your strength. I want you to look at me for just a moment more. I'll never forget it. There was a man, when my preacher was alive, there was a man that was running a bus route, and he had done something that was so stupid. It was stupid. And he'd gotten himself in a lot of trouble. He'd gotten our church in a lot of trouble. And I remember my pastor, how he dealt with it. Now, he called that man in, and that guy got into trouble, and he got corrected. But I remember the pastor saying to the men on our staff, he said, you know something, that guy's been a bus captain for 14 years. We've never had a moment's problem out of him. He's brought hundreds and hundreds of people to Jesus Christ. We've seen all sorts of people saved. Now, I am going to have to discipline him, but I am not going to forget 14 years of loyal, faithful service, and I'm not going to throw this guy under the bus because he did something stupid. Now, I am going to correct him. But I will also thank him for the 14 years of faithful service when I do so. You know what? That tempers. Then he made this statement, and I've never forgotten. He said, I always remember the big picture about somebody. You know what the big picture is? The big picture, we usually remember the little picture. You say, what's that? That's that one stupid thing they did that we tore into them. Well, let me tell you something. When they serve and serve and serve and serve and serve and they do right and do right and do right and do right and do right, I don't think we ought to forget all that. Don't forget all the wonderful good things that they accomplished and just zero in on that one stupid thing they did. Now, stupid things need to be corrected. But I think we're less apt to miscorrect them or wrongly correct them if we just remember all the positives. That's why praise is a part of you becoming meek. You know, when you're mad at your husband because he did something that you disagree with, remember all the good things that he has done also. It'll keep you from being as angry as long. Meekness, it's not weakness, it's power under control.